So I'm sitting down in Studio J at that station with Dispatch. Hey, y'all, thanks for joining me.
Thanks for having us.
Okay, so let's just jump right into things. Starting with, you know, you guys took the indie route without a label. So can you just describe to me the decision-making behind that, and if that is the grassroots approach, really what brought your guys' fan base about?
Ooh, well, we had some offers, a bunch of offers back in the day, and some nice lunches.
Yeah, some wonderful dinners in New York.
But we just didn't, the vibe wasn't quite right. We just didn't feel it like it. And by that, with the help of Napster, which taps into your other question about grassroots, we were already on a trajectory that was beyond our, what we thought, beyond our wildest dreams. So we didn't feel like we needed record labels at that point, because mm-hmm. we were already on a pretty good upswing with the help of Napster. So I do feel like, because it's always been a from the bottom up kind of band, groundswell thing, that the word of mouth has always been what this band's been about. And that's, I think that's contributed to people being like, the people kind of own this band, as opposed to them hearing it from a, I don't know, seeing it on a billboard or from a fancy radio station or something like that. It's just always been kind of on the ground.
Okay. And you guys write about what you care about and what you're passionate about, and social issues and everything going on in the world. Is that one of the reasons you guys came back together, or did you always know you'd come back together and keep writing music?
I think that's a really significant part of why we wanted to come back together and keep making music. We each had our own solo projects for a number of years after, you know, going through our formational years, like 19 to 24, 25 together, kind of sharing one voice and one microphone and one identity. So I think it was a really healthy thing for us to take a big break and go sort of get our own stories and identities more formed. But then all of a sudden you're like, well, great, now I have a better sense as to who I am, but I miss my brothers and tribe. And the more topics there were in the world where it's like talking about justice and talking about inequality and anything that we could do just as musicians to put music behind that, but also engage our fans to, you know, journey along with us asking those questions. There's just so much more weight and so much more power, I think, to all of us collectively sharing our perspectives, even if we don't agree. Mm-hmm. I talked to a fan last night that was like really forthcoming saying, hey, love your music, don't really agree with much of what you guys stand for. And then he really quickly was like, but I love that you guys are passionate and that you'll say what you believe. And I told him, I was like, I think our country's forgotten what it is to dialogue, and that like the best teams, the best organizations, the best countries have lots of disagreement. And if you sharpen each other and learn from each other's perspectives, then you get the absolute best. But when things polarize to the point where we're just like volleying stuff on Facebook or social media, and we don't have the ability to disagree and mm-hmm. listen and learn from each other, that's the part that I think is so heartbreaking for us. So hopefully as artists, we can try to find some middle just by creating songs that humanize questions and issues instead of polarizing them.
Okay. So you guys had your first show actually not in Boston, but in Durham, right? At my favorite burrito place.
Oh, the Cosmic Cantina.
Is that right?
Yeah. Come
yeah,
on.
That place is so great. So
still going?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Definitely swing by there after Red House tonight.
That's
incredible.
Yeah. So, but can you?
We actually played. I think we played there once too.
Or we did.
Yeah.
Right? Several times.
Yeah, we've played there a bunch of times. Right.
So, can you talk about like that?
That time, the huge football players came with their like pitchers of beer.
Yeah,
it's kind of scary. Yeah, we won them over with flying horses.
So that was your guys's first show ish at Cosmic, right? What was that
like? First show on tour.
It was our first.
Okay.
Yeah, it was our first tour, and we got to probably
quote tour.
Yeah, disclaim that that word with some air quotes. But it was, my sister went to school down here, and so we drove the family Suburban down, and
think we dropped a tranny somewhere.
Yeah, it, it only froze. Worked in first gear for the
drive. We wanted to savor every minute.
Like the last 200 miles, so we're just on the breakdown lane going about 12 miles an hour.
Oh,
trying
wow.
to make our way down.
Nice. Yeah, but you made it.
Made it. We played Ricci's. We played just a bunch of area, the Down Under. We played in Durham.
You're just showing off
and
right now.
There was one place where there was a buzz going through.
That
the
was
whole,
Ricci's.
Was that Ricci's?
That was Ricci's.
Oh, that's the worst. I think the Tyson fight was on.
Which Steel one?
I can't remember.
Chad, you were wearing that like red and blue
early,
early days,
striped t-shirt,
Buster.
Because
there's
Collins.
Big cheer, big, you know, like, you know, when
he
you play in
a
sports
burrito.
Bars,
yeah.
And everyone's like, yeah, and
you're like,
your eyes are closed.
Yeah.
You think it's because of you, but it's not.
So what is, I guess, because you guys have been here so much, what's your favorite spot in the Triangle? Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, whatever it is. Do you guys have a favorite spot? Is it Cosmic?
Dude, we had, wasn't there a Ziggy's and a Cat's Cradle?
Yeah.
And maybe the Quad, Cradle. The Quad party that we played with Jeff the Cook Burke.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite. It was a Duke Quad. I don't remember what the name of the Quad was exactly, but.
Duke Quad. We played with
Duke
a friend.
Quad.
Did he go to school down here?
Duke Quad?
I'd say, yeah, I think we played with Fishbone.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Angelo.
Angelo, look out.
Yeah. Shout out to Angelo.
We were still an acoustic trio, just like three acoustic guitars and a set of bongos. And we were opening for Fishbone. And the drummer played backwards
nice.
And had a tattoo bigger than my whole body. I wasn't intimidated, though. I don't remember that.
No, I'd say Cosmic Cantina. I got to go back there for the for a favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That was the most like mainstay kind of thing.
Yeah.
If you told me now that there was like Cosmic Cantinas everywhere, I'd believe you, you know, like a massive franchise. But that's cool. It just stayed.
Wasn't
stayed
that pre Chipotle?
Yeah. Oh, probably.
Way
yeah.
Pre.
Way
pre.
Way pre.
Well, they have two locations now. So they got the one in Durham that's like the hidden gem. You got to find it. And then there's one in Chapel Hill, too.
We got to go.
Gotcha.
I think I had chicken with pesto.
We talked a lot about your guys' past. Looking forward. Is there anything that you guys would like to talk about, or you know, where do you guys see your future going?
Well, just to get these guys have an interesting perspective because these two weren't around from the beginning
mm-hmm.
with us. We're playing without Pete, who has been struggling with some depression and made that public, and is just. Trying to fight through that on a daily level. So that's been a big part of our existence in the last 2 years. And just kind of really tough timing because we all recommitted to the band and he got sick pretty soon right after that. And then these guys have been joining us and also Mike Sawitsky, who co-produced the record. And we're halfway through releasing our second record in 2 years now. But it's been definitely a new and, a new chapter in the band and, we all switch around instruments a lot, but you know, I guess I'll ask a question to these guys.
Matt, I was going to ask you to ask a question to these guys.
Or do you want to ask them?
No, I was going to ask you to ask it because we're referencing their perspectives and we're still talking.
Layered question.
It's amazing how we do that. Hi, Matt Embry.
Hello, Brad Corgan.
Matt comes. Matt and JR actually knew each other before this. They were JR was in Big D in the Kids Table, a Boston area ska band. Matt was in the legendary, is in the legendary RX Bandits, and they toured together over the years. So it was neat to reunite them on the stage. But I guess. Matt, I'll ask you, and then you can ask JR a question, and then we'll be done.
Nice.
How do you like that?
And then maybe we'll both ask Kristen a couple
okay.
questions.
Oh, no.
How about that?
Matt.
Yep.
What's it like for you changing gears from the creative force and singer of RX to then play in this band? Is that something that feels natural or kind of fluid to you, or is that something you have to kind of like totally change your mindset for?
You gotta change your mindset. That's it. No, I'm
God, he's, yeah. He's so good.
Yeah, it's definitely an ego trip. It's definitely a trip. It's definitely different. But there's a lot of the same things. I feel like I still have to have the same attitude when you come and play, you know, when you're on stage. You want to have the same attitude about being prepared and about taking what you're doing seriously, you know. But it's definitely different from the perspective of, like, you know, carrying the weight of responsibility, you know, in the way that you guys do. You know, I know how that feels. And, you know, one part of it is, part of me misses that, because when you do really well and carry that weight, it feels really good. It's really gratifying. But then when you play a show and no one shows up, you also feel responsible, you know, for the opening bands and everyone else for not getting to play in front of people and or your own bandmates or whatever. And, you know, so, yeah, there's a little bit of both. You know, I like not having the responsibility. But me personally, you know me, I'm a competitive person. Like, I'm always down for the challenge. So, it's been a fun challenge.
Matt usually plays guitar, and we've put him on bass for the last 2 years. That's also been a challenge.
Well, and then we let him out of the cage to play guitar solos, and I usually stop playing the instrument that I'm playing because I'm so into the guitar solo, kind of fangirling, and then realize, like,
which is
I'm
a
in
problem because he's playing the drums.
So I need to keep playing the drums.
I need the drums to play a solo too.
I'd like to encourage myself to keep playing the instruments while he plays guitar.
Don't zone out.
There we
go,
self. JR, you have known Mr. Chadwick Stokes for like 7 or 8 years, I think, from playing Chadwick Stokes stuff. And then moving into Dispatch, what's it like having played with Chad and, you know, being kind of a primary, at least the way I see Chadwick Stokes, the two of you guys carried lots of weight, and then everyone else that played with you had a great role. But coming into kind of the Dispatch culture, what's kind of similar from the Chadwick Stokes culture and what's a little bit different?
Similar, I would say. Well, in some ways, it's, you know, I do this stuff with Chad, and we've done stuff just the two of us before. We've done stuff with like three or four other people. I mean, this similar stuff is like, it's still Chad. He's just further away. You know, it's like kind of playing Chadwick Stokes on steroids a little bit. You know, it's like, oh, it's like the sort of the same thing happening, but it's on a grander scale, I guess. Yeah, like that. You're a buff. And then what was the differences? I mean, the songs.
People.
There's more people. There's a lot more going on. It's way more of a production, I think. There's a lot of more moving pieces. The songs are different. The styles still kind of there because, I mean, you know, Chad being one of the songwriters, but I'd say the songs are different. Production's bigger. Yeah. Transportation's a little different.
Yeah, I mean, your 70s dream ride right now.
But it's all good.
Okay, nice. Kristen,
it's all good, man.
All of us are wanting to ask you where you got your shoes.
Oh, seriously?
That's it.
Yeah. These are actually a recent purchase. I got them on Vans.com.
I knew it, Chad. Yeah. I told you.
I thought that.
He thought it, yeah.
I feel like Asa has a pair similar to that.
Mm. Yeah, these, I've been wanting them for a while, so I bought a knockoff pair from Walmart, right? Had to wear those until I could commit myself to purchasing these big ones.
Look, Asa's, he's coming in. He's coming
he's
in.
I'm
not going to lie. The Walmart ones were more comfortable.
Whoa.
I know, Wally I know. World. But I'm happy with the purchase.
If you're listening, you're blowing it.
I know.
Mind's blown. That sound you just didn't hear. Our mind's being blown.
Silently exploding.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having us.
Oh, my gosh. No, thank you guys for stopping by. And, you can catch Dispatch at Red Hat tonight. But you can also head on over to thatstation.net for the full interview.